Good morning, everyone. Thank you.
大家早上好。
Thanks for coming on this somewhat less than balmy day. And I want to thank, of course, Master Sheng Yan, the founder of our center, and all of the Foshers and volunteers, everyone who made this day possible.
非常感恩大家今天这么冷还能过来听。我首先想要感谢圣严法师，还有感谢禅宗云所有的法师和义工们。
So today I'm going to talk about a Chan, Tang Dynasty master named Dongshang Liangjie, and a particular teaching that he gave and is associated with him. And I want to give a little bit of background about who he was and what he did.
今天我要讲的呢是唐朝的一位禅师，名字叫洞山良介。今天我要讲的是有关他的一些跟大家他的语录以及他的一些教法。
Dongshang is considered the founder of the Cao Dong, otherwise known in Japanese as the Soto School of Buddhism. And our founder, Master Sheng Yan, was an heir to this lineage, Master Sheng Yan was also an heir to the Lin Ji, or Rinzai, lineage as well. And Dongshang and Lin Ji were contemporaries.
首先我想介绍一下洞山良介的背景。洞山良介禅师呢，他是曹洞宗的创始人，也是在日本有一个叫 Soto School 的这个创始人。大家都知道我们的圣严法师呢是这一个曹洞宗的一个传承人，同时圣严法师也是灵济宗的传承人。那么曹洞宗和灵济宗是同时代存在的两支法脉。
So Dongshang is the 38th patriarch in the Cao Dong lineage and the 10th generation after Bodhidharma, who's the one who brought Chan to China.And his sayings and teachings are in a particular collection, the Dongshang Liangjie Chanshir Yulu. And he originated the teachings of the five positions, very important in Chan studies. And he succeeded his teacher, whose name was Yunyan Tansheng, and he also trained with two other teachers,Nanchuan Puyan and Guishan Lingyu. And when he was about 50, he became the abbot of a monastery in Mount Xinfeng. correction. He's the 38th patriarch after Maha Kashyapa.Right, so correction there. Right.
Got it. Yeah. 所以洞山良介禅师呢，他是作为禅宗的第38代祖师，也是曹洞宗的创始人。他是从菩提达摩自中国传法以来的第十代禅师。他的教法大部分收录在洞山良介禅师语录当中。他还自创了一个叫做五位教学法。这些也都收录在他的公案当中。他最著名的作品呢是称为宝镜三昧歌，今天我也可能会简略的提到。洞山良介禅师师从云岩坛城禅师，在跟云岩禅师学习之前呢，洞山良介禅师还在南泉普愿禅师以及龟山灵玉禅师坐下学习。当他50岁的时候呢，他成为新峰山的一座禅寺的住持。
A lot of these details may seem very academic, but the reason that I present them is to show that there is a direct connection between Dongshang and the Buddha, and between Dongshang and all of the teachers who succeeded him right up to today. And I'll be touching on some of his poems.The teaching poems that he gave, and the beginning of his most famous poem, which is called The Song of Precious Mira Samadhi, has the lines that say the Dharma of thusness is intimately transmitted by Buddhas and ancestors. Now you have it, preserve it well. So that is exactly what we are doing here today. We are taking this transmission, trying to preserve it, and trying to share it with everyone else. Mm-hmm.
刚刚我讲了这么一大段关于洞山莲介禅师背景的原因，就是因为我要想讲清楚他的传承的脉络，因为洞山莲介禅师他的传承可以追溯回菩提达摩，可以追溯回最早的在印度的佛陀的教法，他是这样一代一代没有间断的传承下来的。那么今天传承到圣严法师，在传承到我们今天，也是试图想保存这样一种开示，这样一种教法继续传承下去。
So my talk today really concentrates on two words that Dongshan's teacher Yuan Yuan said to him when Dongshan was about to leave and go seek teaching from other masters.
那今天我讲座呢，主要想集中在两个字，就是这个，在中文翻成是四个字，但英文就是 just this， 是两个单词。这个两个英语里的这两个单词，中文是四个字，就是说就是这个，就是这个。这句话是当洞山良介禅师将要离开他的师父云岩禅师的时候，他的师父对他说的。
So there was a tradition where students of Chan would move from monastery to monastery.So when Dongshan was about to do this, he asked his teacher Yuan Yuan, if I am asked to describe your teaching, your reality, what shall I say? And after some pause, Yuan Yuan thought about this. He said, just this is it. Just this. And Dongshan was lost in thought when he heard that. And Yuan Yuan then said to him, you are now in charge of this great matter.You must be most thoroughgoing.
在古代当时禅宗有一种传统，就是学生要参访不同的老师。所以当洞山良介禅师要离开云岩禅师去参访其他老师的时候呢，云岩禅师就洞山良介禅师就问他的老师云岩禅师说，如果别人问起我，你教给我什么最宝贵的到底是什么的时候，我应该怎么说呢？云岩禅师停顿了一下，然后说，就是这个，就是了。东山禅师当时听到时候有点愣住了，然后云岩禅师说，现在这个解开这个谜团，这个大事就交给你了，你必须自己彻底的去调查，去领悟。
We might ask, what was Dongshan looking for when he asked this question of Yuan Yuan?Did he want a list of topics or a particular technique? Perhaps Yuan Yuan sensed this and he realized the gravity of what he was being asked, so he didn't answer right away. He really took a very long pause. And he said, just this. So it doesn't seem like very much to go on. And in fact, it may sound almost like a very offhand remark, but it has considerable depth, as I hope to show.And you can relate almost all Chan and all Buddhist teachings to this phrase, just this.
所以当我们并不知道当洞山禅师在问他的老师云岩禅师的时候，他心里想的是什么，他所期盼的答案是什么，我们不知道他是不是想要老师给他一系列的佛学的论题啊，或者是特别的一些技巧。但是云岩禅师似乎感觉到了这一点，所以他并没有立刻就回答，而是停顿了很久，然后他才慢慢说，就是这个了，就是这个了。乍一听好像觉得云岩禅师没有说什么，好像他也是随便说了一句，但是就像我今天讲座想要展现给你所看的，他这句话其实非常的有深度，他这句话应该概括了所有禅宗的教法在里边。
So in just this, there is no goal stated, no doctrine, no teaching. There is very little, if anything, to hold on to. Nonetheless, Yunnan was obviously convinced about Dongshan's understanding or he wouldn't have been able to entrust so much to him with so little explanation. He then told Dongshan that he was in charge of this great matter and that he must be most thoroughgoing. So Yunyan imparted a great truth and responsibility to Dongshan. But what is justice? How are we to understand it?
就是这个答案，它并没有什么目标去追求，也没有什么原理，好像也没有什么开示在里边，好像它没有什么可以抓的。云岩禅师当时呢，一定是认为洞山禅师是能够最终能够理解他这句话的意思的，所以他并没有做过多的解释，而是把这一个解开这句话的秘密的这个任务交给了洞山禅师自己，让他自己去做彻底的调查和了解。那么这句话到底是什么意思呢？
So we can define the terms actually pretty easily. We can say justice is the world and mind as it is with nothing added or taken away. And we could end the lecture right there. That's it. Define the whole thing. But obviously there's much more to look into.
那么到底这句话什么意思？我们也可以就是从字面上去理解它，不用加什么话，也不用去除什么话，就说就是这个，就是这个。那么如果这样子的话，我们今天讲座也可以到此结束了。但是当然，这背后有很深层次的意义，所以我们今天要继续讲下去。
Furthermore, we know that the teaching of just this lies at the base of all Chan meditation methods and the underlying schools of thought that inform Chan. When just this is put into motion, so to speak, it implies a question. What is this? What is just this? And that question is at the heart of every huato, every gongan, every koan that is used in the Chan school. It's the critical phrase that's used for contemplation and investigation. What is this is much the same as who am I or what is wu. These are investigations into the root of all experience, perception, and existence. They turn the mind from outward to inward seeking of the nature of suffering and its end, seeking those ends.
正如我刚刚说到的，就是这个，它后面有很深层次的意义。它也和它应该说，它包括了禅宗的打坐的修行的各种各样的方法在里边。当我们说就是这个的时候，其实它暗含了一个问号，它暗含了一个问题，到底是什么呢？就是这个到底是什么呢？就像一个话头一样，给我们去参禅，到底是什么？这个到底是什么？就相当于在问我是谁，到底什么是无？这些都是禅宗的最根本的话头的方法，用来把我们心从外向内转，向内去参，找到所有我们经验感受世界和存在的问题的根源。所以
Okay. By the same token, the attitude of just this is really the attitude of silent illumination, another method that is foundational in the Chan school. With a mind that is silent, not producing thoughts based on a false concept of self, and illuminated, open to the boundlessness and emptiness of the world, unimpeded, unblocked to all experience, that is the attitude of just this. Mm-hmm.
就是这个，不仅仅是包含了所有禅宗的方法和一些理念，更进一步来讲，它也是一种修行的态度。就是这个，比如说它是默照禅的一种修行态度。从某种角度来讲，从禅宗角度来讲，它是说你的心是寂静的心，并不基于自我的观念和感受来产生各种各样的念头，同时它也是一颗觉照的心。来觉照这个世界的空性和自己的体验，这是一种就是这个的这样一种开放的态度。
To better understand what is meant here, we might want to look at how we ordinary sentient beings look at ourselves and the world. Just this wouldn't really describe how we ordinarily interact with the world. Our operative notion is more like everything is crazy and out of control, and I'm crazy and out of control, or I'm bewildered or clueless. I think that's how many of us can feel from time to time. And of course, some of us think we know everything, and that certainly isn't just that either. That's more like just me.
所以要更好理解，就是这句话什么意思呢？我们必须要看一看我们现在是怎么理解这个世界，怎么理解我们自己的。我们现在一般会觉得啊，这个太疯狂了，那个太无法没办法控制了。就是从我们的角度来讲，我们好像认为什么事情都是很疯狂，还有无法控制的。
Something illustrative of this, I was listening to the radio this morning, and I think everyone knows about the snowstorms that have pounded Boston. So there was an interview with one of the drivers of the snow trucks that clear the way. And this driver was talking about how people were yelling all sorts of obscenities to him, giving him the finger, when he would, doing his job,push a large pile of snow in front of someone's driveway, right? And so someone whose driveway is blocked, you can understand how they would feel. But what they don't realize is once they unblock their driveway and they're driving out on these nice clear roads, it was because of what the driver did in the first place. So...The just me is, well, I'm inconvenienced, right? But the just this is everything is transpiring all around me, including me.
所以通常我们对这个世界的理解就是不是就是这个，而是说就是我，我们都是以自我的中心出发来了解这个世界的。比如说举个例子，最近波士顿被暴风雪袭击，受灾是最严重的。然后好像有新闻报道说波士顿的扫雪车在扫雪的过程当中自然会把雪堆积在路边两边的人家的通行道前面，因为他为了要把那条大道扫出来。那个时候呢两边的居民呢就会以各种各样难听的话、恶毒的话来骂这个扫雪车的司机。当然这种心情是可以理解的，因为很多雪把他们自家私人通道给堵上了。但是呢他们没有想过虽然雪把他们的通道堵上是因为扫雪车把雪推到了两边，但他们没有想过当他们在享用这个公共大道的时候，其实自己也是受益者。所以从某种角度来讲，当我们说就是这个的时候，我们是从一个整体的角度去看问题的，而不是说就是从我自己的角度来看这个问题。
We generally perceive the world through a rigid system of perceptions, concepts, and values that we have walled up inside of us over time. We perceive through the self. According to Buddhist teaching, this is a distorted sense of who we are, because we attach to what we like,reject what we don't like, and we ignore the ever-changing nature of reality, which doesn't care a fig about what we like and what we reject. But because of our upbringing and conditioning, we are hardly aware of this sense of self. We look at the world, and we are convinced that what we see and how we see it is absolutely real.
所以说这个例子就告诉我们，通常我们一般人在跟世界打交道，跟别人打交道，看这个世界的时候，都是从一套非常固有的价值观对这个世界的观念和自己的喜好为出发点的。所以我们总是看到一件事情，总是说会把以自我为中心来做出一些评价，而并没有看到事实的真相。因为事实的本质其实是很客观的，并不以你喜欢和不喜欢发生变化，但是我们一般却觉察不到自己已经由于加入了自我这个元素而把现象和事实已经扭曲了。一般的人会觉得他没有扭曲任何事实和现象，他感觉他的存在和事实的存在是非常真实的。
So if you stop to ask the proverbial man or woman on the street, what is the self?They might say, well, everything about me, my body, what I own, how I look at the world. A little more thought and they might say, it's what I know. It's who I know. It's what it's like to be inside my head, to be me.
如果你随便在大街上问一个男士或者女士，你问什么是自我，那个人可能说，哦，自我就是我的身体啊，我所拥有的东西，还有我怎么看待这个世界的。如果他们再仔细想一想，他们可能会说，自我还包括了我所知道的东西，还有我认识的人啊，还有如果你是我的话，你在我脑子里，你在我身体里，你会怎么感受？这个就应该是自我。
But all those things that I just mentioned, they're always changing, different in every moment. People don't really realize that. Certainly people think they have a self, otherwise they couldn't respond to any questions, and they would be dead or simply not exist. Pressed a little further to try to identify the exact self, this permanent entity that we think we are, this becomes a little less easy.
从这个问答上就可以反映出大家认为这个自我是存在的，要不然的话他就不会说，不会对这个问题做出回答了。他们认为这个自我是很真实的存在的，但是他们没有意识到的是，他们所描述的这些自我每时每刻都是在发生变化的。
Anyone familiar with Buddhist teaching knows that this is a central issue, the self and how it seems to keep running into problems one way or another. This is the teaching of anatta, of no self, and it's a misleading label which I'll get into a little bit later.
如果在座的对佛学有一定的了解的话，就会知道这个是佛法想要对峙的一个最根本最中心的一个问题，就是说我们是怎么看待自我的，以及我们对自我这种愚痴，以及不停的以这种自我为中心而发生产生很多很多的问题和烦恼。
So trying to figure out how we are trapped in a sense of self, how we are caught in an endless cycle of death and rebirth, how we suffer, this is the great matter that Yunyan entrusted to Dongshan. Now Dongshan is the master who will train those who seek a teaching, and he will help them cut through these delusions and vexations that are produced by this false sense of self, this attachment to self. So Dongshan is warned that he must be thoroughgoing in this matter because self-delusions proliferate moment by moment, endlessly, and only tireless persistence and practice can cut through them.
所以说世人对自我的执着就使自己对不停地陷在这种生死轮回当中。那么怎样能够找出一个方法来解脱，摆脱这种对自我的执着，对这种自我幻觉的不停的延伸呢？这是一个生死大事。那么洞山良介禅师此刻呢，已经被赋予了找出这个大事的根本解决方法的一个任务，重要任务。他的老师就告诉他，他必须要孜孜不倦、坚持不懈的努力，才能够有办法斩断所有不停产生的烦恼和不停的对自我执着的所产生的所有的问题。
So just this, if it were taken as some description of reality, would not be very satisfying. For one thing, it would be a description of every situation possible. That wouldn't exactly serve us well. Let's say there was a reporter covering a political event or an accident.Or a doctor who was asked for a diagnosis, and somebody said, well, what happened? What happened? And they said, just this. Well, they wouldn't have their jobs for very long.
就是这个。如果我们只是接受这句话，然后用它来描述所有现象世界的所有现象的话，那并不会令人很满意。因为这句话几乎可以用在所有情形上，然后好像也没有起到什么作用。就比如说有一个新闻记者在报道一个比如事故现场或者一个政治事件的时候，别人说发生了什么，他又说就是这个。然后或者你去看一个医生，你问到底怎么样了，然后医生也说就是这个。如果他们这样做的话，他们可能工作就做不长了。
No, just this is really an understanding, and most importantly, an instruction to reach that understanding. It's a way of orienting yourself to experience and phenomena as they are, unfiltered by your own normal perceptions that you've developed through your entire lifetime.
Mm-hmm. 就是这个，更多的是一种作为一种理解，更重要的是呢，它是一种怎样能够实现或者实证这样一种理解的一个方法上的指示。它是一种，它让你能够放下你现在经验世界所受到的各种东西，能够让你穿越自己感知世界，而能够正确的放下，更正确的放下很多烦恼，能够让自己能够按照这种指示去实践。
Just this is so short that you can see that the words are almost unnecessary. Many of you are probably familiar with what is considered the first transmission of Chan from Shakyamuni to Mahakashapa, one of his primary disciples, and who was considered the first patriarch of Zen. In what has become known as the Flower Sermon, among a large assembly of monks and nuns, the Buddha simply held up a flower, smiled, and said nothing. Everyone else was clueless. Only Mahakashapa smiled too and understood. The Buddha said, "I possess the true Dharma eye, the marvelous mind of Nirvana, the true form of formlessness, the subtle script, the Dharma gate that does not rest on words or letters, but is a special transmission outside of the scriptures. This I entrust to Mahakashapa."
就是这个，这句话看上去是这么的短，好像几乎觉得语言文字都是不需要的。我想在座的很多菩萨们肯定很熟悉禅是怎么样第一代传从释迦牟尼第一代传给迦叶尊者的。迦叶尊者呢是被公认为是禅宗的第一代祖师。在一个非常著名的佛陀拈花微笑典故当中呢，是这么讲的，是有一次佛陀有一个在一个很大的集会上，在座有很多的出家人，然后佛陀轻轻的就很简单的拿起了一朵花朵微笑，什么也没有说，在场的人呢大家都没有理会佛陀的意思，只有迦叶尊者也微笑了，并且明白了佛陀的意思。然后佛陀就说，无有正法眼藏，涅槃妙心，实相无相，微妙法门，不立文字，教外别传，附主于迦叶尊者。
So note that what the Buddha said after he held up the flower and he explained something of the transmission, that was a lot of words he used for a wordless teaching. Nonetheless, it's not really an explanation, right? Those words that the Buddha said were a description of the event, not the event itself. And what, if anything, is identifiable and transmitted in the transmission? And is this a case of the Buddha giving something or taking something away? Or none of the above.
所以从佛陀这段话当中我们可以看出，这个拈花微笑典故虽然佛陀说了很大的一串话，但那一串话并没有解释他为什么微笑，或者他微笑之后迦叶尊者又到底领悟到了什么。他的解释更多的是描述了禅宗传承这一件事件的发生的情况。所以说并没有加进去什么，也没有好像拿掉什么，对于这个微笑之间的理解。所以到底他们是传承了什么呢？
Okay. So here is another wordless teaching which I personally experienced from Shurfu, Master Shengyan. At least this is what I took it to be. Some of you may know that the center here, the CMC, used to be across the street in a much smaller building, and we used to have our retreats there. And that building didn't have a vestibule the way this one does, and it had a Buddhist altar and statues and various pieces of furniture that when the retreat took place had to be moved around to block the doors to make it suitable for all of the retreatants and to have all the cushions planted so that we could sit. One thing that always happened, retreat after retreat, that used to startle and puzzle me, right at the end of the retreat, anyone who's been on a retreat knows about this, we would do bows and prostrations in gratitude. Right at the end of the retreat, we would transfer the merit that we experienced during the retreat. And for each prostration, there was a ring of the bell. And when the last prostration was done and the bell rang, and just as it faded, I would be standing there. Now, this was the end of the retreat. You know, I'd been there for, let's say, 7 days, and I would be in a nice dreamy state, sort of thinking about what happened and feeling very light and sort of not having too many problems and just sort of in a daze. And Sherfu would immediately bark out orders. Move this, move that, move this. Everything go back to the way the center was. So in Sherfu's mind, which was a very clear mind, the retreat was over. There was nothing to attach to. It was gone, right? And I was just like, every time it would just wake me up. What? Why? It would happen all the time. And it took many years after thinking about what had happened, I really understood that that really was a wordless teaching of just this.
在很多年，在80年代的时候呢，我也经历过像佛陀传承给迦叶尊者这样一种无言的身教的这样一种传承方式。当时呢，禅中心还是在对面马路的一座房子里边，它是一个相对更小的空间，所以当时禅堂它并没有一个前厅来阻隔，所以当我们举行禅修的时候，我们就要移动很多家具啊，移动这里所有的设，包括佛像啊，然后这些供台啊，去把门给阻隔，然后可以腾出更多的空间让大家来打坐。这个时候呢，每次禅修结束的时候，大家都可能很熟悉这个习惯了。禅修结束的时候，我们都会礼佛三拜，然后回向，然后在礼佛三拜最后一拜的时候，当引擎声音结束慢慢远去的时候，我就会站在那边，好像还回味在禅修的这个美妙境界当中，好像还在梦境一般，还在回味我到底学到了什么呀，这次打坐如何啊。但那个时候师父却一旦引擎声音消失以后，他立刻就开始发布命令了。他会说啊，把这个搬回去，把这个搬到那边，把这个佛像搬到原位。好像就刹那间，师父又回到了修行就是禅修结束之后的状态，而我还在回味禅已经过去的禅修。当然师父的心是一个非常非常安定觉察的一颗清净的一颗心，所以他能够瞬间的认识到哦，就是这个是当下，而没有像我这样还执着刚刚发生了什么，我禅修发生了什么这样一种状态。但我每一次发生了很多次，我每一次都是处于这样一种很惊讶的状态，因为我好像还回味在刚刚过去的禅修中，而师父却已经回到当下开始做该做的事情了。而这现象中的这种几乎没有任何转折，就是下一秒立刻就发生了。
So now if we go back to the 5th century AD, once again, I think many people are familiar with the stories of Bodhidharma, the first patriarch, and Emperor Wu of the Liang Dynasty, who was a patron of Buddhism. So there are a number of stories, one of which I'll relate, but the first one is Emperor Wu of Liang asked Bodhidharma, well, what is your teaching? What's the essence of it? And Bodhidharma said, pay attention. And the emperor said, well, I am paying attention. What is your teaching? And Bodhidharma said, pay attention. And the emperor said, I know. I hear you. I'm paying attention. What's your teaching? And Bodhidharma said, pay attention.
然后我要再讲一个发生在公元五世纪的一个故事，像在座很多可能很熟悉这个故事，就是梁武帝和菩提达摩祖师之间发生的一段对话。当时呢，菩提达摩来到中国，他也是禅宗在中国第一代祖师，然后他就去见了梁武帝。那么梁武帝大家都知道，历史上他是信佛，他其实对佛法是非常崇敬的。然后他当时梁武帝就非常恳切的想问他，很急切的问他，哎呀，你能不能开示一下你最精要的这个佛法到底是什么？然后菩提达摩就说，用心了。然后梁武帝说，对对对，我在用心听你讲一讲，我在用心。然后菩提达摩又说了，用心。然后梁武帝被激怒了，他说，我在用心听啊，你讲啊，你讲啊。最后菩提达摩又说，用心。
Okay, so the emperor was looking for something to grasp, some teaching, some concept that he could relate to in his own way, and Bodhidharma wasn't going to give it to him. It's much the same as the story, also quite famous, of when the emperor asked the Bodhidharma what merit he had acquired in building all of these stupas and monasteries and being a patron of Buddhism. And Bodhidharma looked at him and said, no merit. And it's not that there wasn't merit in what the emperor did, but the Bodhidharma once again was warning him against attaching to the idea of merit. He was telling him once again to pay attention to just this.
接下来，其实梁武帝在这个时候呢，他想要听到的答案，其实他可能自己在想的是，能够抓取一些概念啊、方法呀，所以他很希望菩提达摩能给他的是一个很具体的一个东西，他可以去执着，他可以去抓取。所以说，但菩提达摩给他答案恰恰不是这个。同样，当菩提达摩在谈到功德的时候，因为梁武帝他做了很多的功德的事情，他建了很多庙宇，所以梁武帝就问他，他说，你觉得我做了这么多好事，这么多建了这么多寺庙，你觉得我的功德有多大？那时候菩提达摩说，没有功德，没有福德。但是菩提达摩在回答说没有功德的时候，并不是说梁武帝做的这些好事和佛事就真的没有任何的后果，或者说没有什么业报，并不是这样子，而只是说菩提达摩在提醒梁武帝不要执着于自己所做的这些事情所产生的功德，因为他其实是在真正的传达禅宗最核心的教法，就是说就是这个，就是当下，就是这个。
So when the emperor heard all of this, of course, he was not very happy. So he said to Bodhidharma, who are you? And Bodhidharma said, don't know. And this got the emperor even more furious, and he sent Bodhidharma away, which was probably a mistake. But what name or label can really apply? I mean, who are you in just this? And once again,what Bodhidharma was doing, I mean, he could easily have just said, I'm Bodhidharma. I mean, obviously you know that, you've been talking to me, but out of his compassion and his deep practice, Bodhidharma is stating the way things are and trying to teach the emperor just this. And the emperor was a little slow on the uptake.
所以当梁武帝听到这个说菩提达摩说他没有功德的时候，他当然更生气了，所以他就问梁武帝说，你是谁？梁武帝说不知道。当然听到这个时候，梁武帝觉得这个人简直不可理喻，所以就派人把他给送走了。当然梁武帝其实犯了一个很大的错误，因为菩提达摩其实是修行非常高深的一个高僧。但是当梁武帝在问菩提达摩的时候，当然他问的时候其实应该知道他是菩提达摩，菩提达摩也可以回答说我是菩提达摩，而不是说不知道。但是呢，菩提达摩出于一种慈悲，他其实是在教授梁武帝这样禅宗的一种直指人心的一种方法，想要告诉梁武帝就是当下，就是现在，就是这个这样一种方法，所以他才说用这样的回答的方式去跟他进行交流。
So just this is to see the world afresh in every moment. I don't say this is easy, but that's what justice is. And it's the essence of beginner's mind, which is a term that Shunryu Suzuki made very famous. And Suzuki went on to say, for an expert, everything is difficult. But for a beginner, the beginner's mind, all things are possible because they're in this don't know stage.
就是这个，这句话到底什么意思？就是这个，应该是说，从每一个当下，每一个时刻都去以全新的面貌去看这个世界。所以，从某种角度讲，它就像铃木俊龙，日本著名禅师铃木俊龙所说的一个禅者的初心。当然，如果从一个所谓专家的角度来看这个问题的话，是非常非常困难的，因为他已经有一些固有的观念。但是从一个初学者、一个初心的角度、初心的态度来看的话，所有的事情都是有可能的。
One other reason that just this seems elusive is that inherently points to the inapplicability of space and time and every other concept that we have.So if we bring back this proverbial person on the street and we ask them, what does living in the moment mean to you? They might reasonably say, well, today is Sunday. I have X number of tasks that I have to do. I have some things I have to do tomorrow. There were things I did yesterday. I got them over. And all I have to do is do what's on my agenda today, and I am living in the moment.
从另一个原因来讲，为什么就是这个是这么难以理解和难以被人们接受的原因，是因为从这句话很难抓到，或者是把它放到比较客观相对的时间和空间当中去解释。然后我们又是这么习惯于一个概念啊，一个概念，而且跟时间和空间相关的概念，这样子我们才可以跟我们经验世界相连接。如果就是这个，就在当下，这样子的话，连时空都没有了，就很难操作，很难跟我们经验和观念连接起来。比如说，我们又回到我们刚刚讲的例子，如果我们随便在街上问一个人，活在当下到底是怎么样一种状况，是什么样一种感觉？他们可能会说，今天是星期天啊，我有这么这么多的事情要做，或者说。哦，我昨天干了什么什么事情，我明天还要干什么什么事情，这些事情是我计划做的啊，我现在正活在当下呢。
So with someone like this, someone who thinks living in the moment is sort of looking at their calendar and making sure they know what day it is, what they might not be aware of is that the actual moment, moment-to-moment existence is most probably crowded right out of their awareness by the myriad movements of their mind.Their sense of self and all of the allied and supporting concepts that replace what is really transpiring in the actual moment. This is the way that a lecture, hopefully not this lecture, but a lecture can seem endless, and a long pleasant conversation or a video game that takes hours can seem like it's over in a few minutes. It's really the minutes and hours of our imagination that dictateOur feelings about what we think time is.
所以说，当你在问大街上的人什么是活在当下的时候，他们可能并不真的很清楚你在问什么，他们可能会以为你在问今天是几号或者星期几。因为让他们真正能够体会到从每一刻每一个当下，从一个一个当下到底是怎么样的一个状况的时候，是很难体验到的，因为他们的心已经被很多很多的妄念和自己的念头的转换所困住了，根本看不清也体验不到真正活在当下是怎样一种情况。就好像对于时间这个概念，它可以是就像这个讲座，它可以是几分钟或者几个小时，但是在这些时间，我们所谓的时间当中，我们的心都被我们不停的新的运动或者是不停转换的念头所控制了，所以我们一直是活在自己的一种妄想当中。
Okay, so after this long discussion about justice, let's go back to Dongshan himself. He's gotten this this teaching, this idea of just this. And what happened is that he left Yunnan, and after some time, he was crossing a river. And he looked down at the river, saw his reflection, and given all of his experience, the teaching of just this, and all of his practice, he had a great moment of enlightenment. And that explained everything about the exchange with the teacher, about just this, the great matter being thoroughgoing. So he wrote this poem, which, I'll read the first thing. This is my translation in English. I'll read that, and Min will read it in Chinese. And I've also, everyone who's gotten this handout sheet, you'll see I've included a few other translations, just so you get some idea of how differently the Chinese can be interpreted. But so what Dongshan wrote was, "Never seek it from others. Otherwise, you will be far away from yourself. I now walk on alone, by myself. And everywhere I meet you, you are now exactly me, but now I am not you. Experience must be thus, and then accord with true suchness."
现在我们讲了这么多，那么我们回到东山良介禅师的体验上。我们知道刚刚我们讲到东山良介禅师跟他的师父有这么一个对话，然后他师父就给了他这么一个任务去参这个人生大事。后来呢，洞山禅师在过一条小溪的时候，他正巧看到了自己在水中的倒影，他就这样开悟了，有了一个开悟的体验。而且当他开悟的时候，似乎云岩禅师对他说的话就是这个，就对他突然能够理解到底是什么意思，所以他就做了一首过水记来表达他这个开悟的境界以及对就是这个的一个理解。这是过水记的原文是这么说的：切记从他觅，迢迢我与书，我今独自往，处处逢得渠，渠今正是我，我今不是渠，应须宁么会，方得气真如。
First, it's important to note that this is a teaching poem. This is not a page from Dongshan's journal. I mean, it's not like he wrote, you know, well, today I got up, I had some coffee, I met some friends, I attained enlightenment, and then I went out for a walk. It's not like that, right? This is not occasional poetry. It's not about his feelings or impressions of the world.
首先呢，我们给大家这个纸上有很不同种版本的翻译。首先想讲的就是，这首过水记并不是洞山良介禅师一则日记，说他今天干了什么呀，他今天早上起来喝了杯咖啡和朋友聊天，娱乐了一下，并不是说是洞山良介日记，而是一个禅师用来开示和一种教程传承佛法，给世人分享佛法的一首记子。
Dongshan is concerned about the great matter, and he's telling us about it as directly as can be accomplished in words. Note that in the first line, I wrote, "Never seek it from others." It doesn't actually have an "it" in Chinese, but just because the word doesn't appear there, it doesn't mean that it's not in play. We do need some things conceptually to hold on to, and the "it" is could be awakening, could be the great matter, could be just this, but it is about the seeking the answer to the deepest question. That's what the it is about.
因为洞山良介禅师非常关注这个人生大事，就是他当时云岩禅师跟他说的就是这个去参这个大事，所以他现在有了开悟经验之后，他就用他能够用语言表达的东西表达了下来。虽然这个开悟经验其实是很难用语言来表达的，比如说在第一句里边，Harry 指出，就是在中文里边我们说切记从他觅，中文是一个含蓄朦胧美， 比如说他没有讲清楚密到底密什么呢，但是他在翻译成英文的时候他必须加了一个 it， 要不然他语法可能不正确。所以还是就说这个 it 就是中文翻译当中没有说清楚他到底是在密什么的，这个什么他的对象到底是什么，应该是就是这个生死大事，就是他禅宗所要解决的最根本的问题。
So Dongshan is talking about true understanding, a moment-to-moment apprehension of the world that is not encumbered by personal perceptions and conceptions. He is certainly seeking, at first, but what is it? He tells us that what it is that he's seeking can't be acquired from others. And that which cannot be acquired not only means not...what can't be gotten from a friend or a teacher, but from the world outside, physical and mental, everything including the sutras. All of these may be helpful at first, but they cannot in and of themselves deliver insight or awakening. Even the Buddha could not zap somebody and enlighten them. So this true understanding can only be recognized as something intrinsic, something that is in our nature and has always been there.
所以说第一这几个过水记的第一行，切记从他密到底是什么意思呢？洞山良介禅师应该是在说谈他的理解和体验，就是说是每时每刻是念与念这样来体验这个世界，而这个体验这个世界的实相，而不是被自己的各种各样的感觉啊概念啊妄念啊所左右所蒙蔽，而是在念念之间能够当下的体验事物的实相。但是呢这一个体验这种能够体验到真心的存在状态，并不是能够从其他人那边学过来的，或者从别人那边取得的。它不仅仅是说开悟的体验并不能够从老师那边学到，或者从朋友那边学到也包括了并不能光看看佛经，读一些佛经就能够看，就立刻会有这样的体验。虽然在学习的过程当中，佛经啊、老师啊都是非常重要的助你修行的工具和助手，但是真正的体验却没有办法通过从外面这些助缘的角度来获得，并且就哪怕是佛陀本人，他也没办法。好像施展一个魔力，哈一下就让你开悟了，是这个是没有这种办法的。所以说，而且真心本身它也不需要从别人那边获得，你本来就有的。
So the next line is problematic in a way. Otherwise, you will be far away from yourself. Earlier, we spoke about the teaching of no self, anatta. That's the key to our misapprehension of the world. Well, if you look in the, even if you don't read Chinese, you can see that the third character from the left or the right is the character wǒ for I. So the word in Chinese when you talk about no self, it's like wǒ wǒ. So the character is right there. Self is in the line, right? So it might be confusing to see this word as it is. But Dongshan is talking about the self being far separated from I. Actually, it's literally far, far from self distant, I guess, if you were to translate that line very literally. And if it weren't for the conventions of language, maybe the word I wouldn't even have to be mentioned. But it's not that it's inaccurate, but it no longer carries the meaning or sense that it once carried. And remember that when the Buddha was pressed to declare that the self does not exist, he would not speak. And when he was pressed to say that the self does exist, he would not speak either. So this teaching, is about true self. That's the self that one will be far away from. It is confusing because one's own sort of very circumscribed, narrow view of the world through one's own eyes. That's the self that we usually think about, but there's also this true self. And so the teaching of no self is never about the actual existence or non-existence of self. We're all sitting here. It's always about our perception of what we think the self is or isn't.
那么从第二句话说，迢迢我与书，这里边呢也有一点容易产生误解的地方，中文和英文也有些不一样。比如说迢迢我与书，就是说如果你联系第一句话，如果你从别人那边想要获得的话，那么你就相当于背道而驰，你离这个真我自我就越来越远了。那么在中文里边说迢迢我与书，那么到底我与什么书，其实中文并没有讲清楚，但是在英文里边它填了个词，它还是填了一个你就会离这个东西越来越远。那么这个东西是什么呢？这个东西是其实是真心真我，是这样一个意思。它与我们一般人所理解的我的概念已经有不一样了。当然这里只是因为语言的需要，我们必须要有一个对象，所以我们就填了一个词。但它因为我们佛教，我们刚刚讲座前面在讲到无我嘛，既然是无我，怎么这里又填了这个第二行又填了一个又出现一个我与这个真我越行越远，就是。但是我们在这里讨论的不是说我到底存不存在，很显然大家都坐在这里，而是说我们到底认为我到底是什么，是由什么组成的，是我们的各种感官世界啊，是我们的妄念啊，念头啊，概念啊，价值观啊组成的，还是什么。
So even at this point, there's a very deep understanding and integration with the world. Yet he walks on alone by himself. Now I realize that that is somewhat redundant, alone by oneself.But I think it's accurate. Well, it is, once again, the Chinese very literally, that third line is I, now, alone, self, go. So alone and self are there, right? And I think it's accurate because if you think about it, you could go out to a store, buy a newspaper, take a walk, interact with nobody. You would certainly...be alone, but perhaps not by yourself. You would be carrying your problems, your relationships, arguments, past regrets, future worries. They would accompany you at every step. Here, after full awakening, Dongshan is truly walking alone.
第三行讲到我今独自往，这句话相对容易理解一点，就是说我一个人在这边走，我以一个人走着，就是我自己一个人在那边走。当然这里又提到了我这个概念。我觉得这句话翻译的讲的其实是非常描述的是非常准确的。为什么讲这里讲我一个人在走是其实是很准确的呢？因为比如说你走出去买一份报纸，你可能没有跟任何人说话，你可能会说我是一个人在买报纸，没有跟其他任何人交流，但实际上你并不是一个人。你仔细体会一下，你会发现你在买报纸的过程当中，你可能还是在想着你的脑海中或者心里边还会浮现各种各样复杂的人事关系啊，很多事要处理啊，或者跟你说什么话呀。其实你并不是一个人，你每时每刻都不是一个人。而只有对一个开悟的禅师来说，他此刻真的是可以放下，才真正的可以做到是很清净的，是一个人。
So, next line. And, everywhere I meet you. Now, once again, I think it's, relevant to go into some of the technical things about the translation, because it's really something you have to make a decision of, and it's helpful in understanding. So there's a character, a pretty literary character in Chinese, which is Chu, which can be interpreted in many ways. Some translators, as you'll see, I've included other translations, read it as it or him or he. Guo Xing Fa Shi, I went over the poem with him, he read it as you. And it certainly is you in this other poem, The Precious Mirror Samadhi. And at the bottom of the sheet that I handed out, you'll see I just included two translations of the same line, and where it says, you are not it, but it is all you. And another translator said, Ms. Shengyan, you are not it, but it is just you. And in that, well, the character that really means you is in there. But I think that these lines are identical. And in one sense, the pronoun doesn't really matter. It's talking about a relationship which centers on or includes Dongshan and everyone else he encounters. He is meeting something or someone wherever he goes. Who or what can it be?
基子的下一句讲到处处逢得渠，这里呢也涉及到一个翻译的问题和理解的问题，这个渠到底是什么意思？那么有一些翻译的版本呢认为渠是他这个是宝盖头的他，是一个中性词，有人翻译成男的单人边旁他，国姓法师认为这个渠是你的意思，那么我觉得你翻译成你这个可能比较合理一点，因为在同样是洞山良介禅师写的宝镜三昧歌里边也有一行句子写到，如临宝镜形影相许，汝是非渠，渠正是汝，在那边渠就翻译成是你的意思，既然是同样的字，可能翻译成你的可能性就比较大一点。当然这边这个代名词到底是你还是他，其实并不是很重要，因为它重点是在描述这样一种关系，是洞山禅师所讲到的，我走出去碰到所有的人所有的事情都是你。那么他到底走出去碰到的是什么事情什么人，他到处都碰到这样的人呢？
Okay, so delving into the mystery of what this line means, so the who or what is he talking to? Well, one thing, it could be Yunyan, his teacher. When Dongshan left Yunyan, Yunyan said to him, it will be hard to meet in the future. Dongshan said, it will be hard not to meet. So this, the teaching and the teacher, now inseparable, everywhere inform Dongshan's interaction with the world.
那么到底这个如果是翻译成你，那么到底这个你到底是谁呢？到底是谁这个让洞山良介禅师不管到哪儿，不管做什么事情，他都会遇到这个人或这个事？有一种可能性就认为这个你其实是指代云岩禅师，也就是洞山禅师的师父，因为当洞山禅师离开云岩禅师的时候，他的老师对他说，以后在将来可能很难再见面了。然后洞山禅师说，很难，其实很难不再见面。为什么呢？因为这个老师他所教的东西已经深刻地留在了禅师的心中，所以不管洞山禅师到哪儿，他时时刻刻都会传承着老师的这样一种传承，这样老师的禅佛法在里边。当他和这个世界在打交道的时候，其实他时时刻刻都相当于见到了他的老师。
Or what he meets could be just this, suchness, thusness, reality itself. There's some teachers who will sometimes pound on a desk like that, and if you hear that just as it is, that is the Buddha itself, himself. That is reality right then and there. And by the same token, it could be the universe. Everywhere we go, we are in the universe. This doesn't mean that the ordinary world isn't operative, that we don't do what's appropriate for a situation at hand. It means that we recognize that if we're not careful, we really end up reacting with our everyday delusions of what the world is. And we get caught up in this sense of self that we've been talking about. So what we actually are reacting to in our ordinary mode of reaction is really a stale image, something that is old of what once was. We think we are in the moment, but we're really bringing a lot of our past perceptions and understandings right to this moment. And rather than reacting to the moment itself, what's right here, we're reacting to all of our understanding, which is something that was created in the past.
或者还有一种解释就是说，这个渠的意思是，就是说，就是这个，就是这个真如实相当下这个，因为这个就是洞山禅师不管走到哪儿都会碰到的一个真如实相。就像有些禅师在讲到这个理解解释这个无法解释的时候，他们就会拍桌子说就是这个，这样拍桌子。但这样一种理解就是一种完全开放的一个心，去能够体验念念之间的当下，能够就好像你是在念念之中都能够看到佛性，看到真如实相。同样它也就像是整个宇宙，不管我们走到哪儿，我们都是在这个宇宙当中。当然并不是说我们经验世界所感知的现实世界它就不存在了，它就不运作了，恰恰相反，我们还是能够处理现象世界、经验世界所产生的各种各样现象。唯一的区别就是说，对于一般的人，没有学佛的人来讲，他跟现实是现象世界打交道的时候，他其实并没有跟真的实相在打交道，他而是由于无明，由于一种无明的愚痴，他是和自己的影像在互动。就比如说你看到一个人一个事，其实是浮现了在你的心中浮现了这个影像，而这个影像也并不是很客观的影像，它会引发你所有对这个影像的过去所有的记忆啊、理解啊、观念啊、想法，在这样一种理解的这样一种扭曲了的现实当中在进行互动。
By translating the Chu as you, the poem could be addressed to you and me right here and now. We could also be the I in the poem. One of the messages, if you will, in the poem is that we have an innate sense and reality of completion which connects us with everyone else. As Thich Nhat Hanh says, we inter are.So, it shouldn't really matter that this poem was written over 1,000 years ago in a place far removed from where we are now. The essential quality of true mind is the same. The now of the poem is the now for us here. We meet it everywhere.
当然如果把曲解释成你之后呢，我们也可以理解到我们说到我不是，我正是你，你正是我今不是你。所以这样解读的话，你会有一种互动的一种对这个现象是有一种互动的感觉，就像一行禅师所说的是，所有的人都是紧密的联系在一起的。虽然这首诗是写在1000多年以前的，这首偈子是写在1000多年以前，但它的精髓在今天还是适用的，因为我们的心并没有太多的变化，从1000多年前的心和现在的心是一样的。
So now the next line, you are now exactly me. This is a kind of merging with everything. And as Guoxing Fa Shi has pointed out, this is really not true Chan at this point. Because there's room here for a boundless ego, right? I'm.Part of everything, me, 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 a part of everything. And this can lead to distortion and arrogance.
接下来去讲到的取经正是我。这句话国姓法师是指出他并不是最典型的禅宗的教法。因为这个时候你可以看到他已经把我融合于所有现象之中了，给出了让这个自我有无限种可能性来认识他，来理解他，这样呢不小心的话会引起很容易骄傲，因为好像所有都是我。
So from everywhere I meet you, right, and him seeing that, you know, you are now exactly me, it's important it gets now to the next line, but now I am not you. One thing that's very important is the now in each line, which is there in the Chinese, the jin, is very important. It's just this of the moment. In one sense, it's not an experience of world or time. It's not a now-then sequence. It's outside of past and future, and because of that, outside of present. It is just this.
在当下，在这两句话当中，两句偈当中，我们都看到有“今”这个字，在中文里的意思就是说。好像是现在，但是它更确切的解释应该就是当下，就是这个当下，而不是我们一般人所理解时间空间概念上的今当下现在这个概念。因为当你讲到时空概念上的现在的话，它是跟过去和未来连结的，而这里的今这个当下的意思是超越了过去和未来，而是说就是现在这个当下的实相，就是这个。就是这个当下。
Okay, so now we get to the baffling contradiction, right? If you are exactly me, then I should be exactly you. That seems to make logical sense, but not in this context. So and this is the kind of teaching, it's not like you just get this conceptually. This is something that one has to really think about, ponder, investigate. But one thing that can be helpful is looking at it, the ocean and wave metaphor that Guoxing Fosher uses a lot. So the water in the ocean can configure into a wave. That certainly happens. The water can be calm, of course, so it doesn't have to be a wave. But when it is a wave, it would be hard to deny that the wave is still composed of water, just as ice or steam is composed of water in essence. But you couldn't precisely say that in every scenario, every time you encounter water, it is a wave. That is a momentary configuration that is happening. It's one property, if you will, that water can mess up into that kind of shape. But it doesn't mean that wherever there's moisture, there's a wave, right? There's You don't have a tsunami in your teacup every time you drink some tea. Right? It doesn't make any sense.
所以接下来我们就要看两句非常好像逻辑上讲不通的两句话。他说渠经正是我，我经不是渠。因为从逻辑上说，如果你说渠经正是我，那反过来应该说我经正是渠才对。为什么他会说我经不是渠呢？这个似乎在逻辑上是讲不通的。这个的确不是很容易理解，所以我们可以用波浪和海水这个国行法是经常举的一个例子来了解一下。比如说在海水变成波浪的时候，当然海水有时候也是风平浪静，它就不一定有波浪，但是如果有风有波浪起来的话，你很难说它波浪的组成它组成成分不是海水，因为波浪就是由海水所组成的，就像冰或者水蒸气，它同样都是由水组成的，只不过它呈现出不同的像而已。所以你并不能说，但是你并不能说，一有潮湿就一定会有波浪啊，或者什么样。就比如说，你每天在喝水的时候，你的水杯里的水并没有呈现波浪的样子。
When Deng Shan looks down and sees his reflection.He recognizes he has a physical body and he has a reflection, but they are not the same. But they cannot exist without one another. Sherfu points out in his book, The Infinite Mirror, which is about the precious mirror samadhi, that we always have a reflection, certainly the capacity to reflect, but it is not always seen. So Dongshan has seen his dharma body, the absolute reality of who he is. That's his true nature. It is not the same as his physical body, but like wave and water, it's not different either. As Sherfu points out, the illusory mind and body are shadows or reflections of the Dharma body, but nonetheless they are connected.
当洞山良介禅师在过小溪的时候看到自己倒影的时候，他认识到他看到了水中的倒影，他有一个倒影，然后他又有一个这样一个物质世界的身体，他们并不是一件东西，并不是一样东西，倒影是倒影，身体是身体，但是他们又，但是这两个现象的存在又彼此缺一不可。就像师父在《宝镜无镜》这本书当中写到的，我们总是有一个，我们其实总是有一个倒影，但是或者我们是有能力，比如说呈现出这样一个倒影，但是我们并不一定总是看到，而洞山禅师在此刻他是看到了自己，他是体验到了自己的法身，他的真正的佛性，他的法身，所以这个佛性法身他跟这个物理身体，它的物理身体并不是一件东西，也并不是两件不一样的东西。所以就像师父在《宝镜无镜》一书中指出的，我们的幻觉，我们的妄念妄心和身体就像是法身所折射出的倒影或者影子一样。
You are now exactly me, but I am not you may seem illogical, but it is only so from a limited perspective. Utterly open to the world, there is room for the universal and particular with no contradiction. The precious mirror Samadhi has the line, it's on the sheet here, you are not it, but it is just you, pretty much identical to the line in the poem we're discussing, as I mentioned before, but it's preceded by the line which says, as before the most precious mirror, form and reflection gaze on each other, or form meets reflection in the other translation. This most precious mirror is a metaphor for true mind and true suchness. Unlike an ordinary mirror, the precious mirror samadhi has no dimensions and no limit to dimension. This reinforces the inseparable interconnectedness of sense organ, sense object, and consciousness, how we perceive the world, how we think the world is separate from us, but looked at from this perspective, there is no separation. It's non-dual. Since they are mutually dependent, these things can be distinguished, but they are not separate.
如果那两句话说成是取经正是我经正是取，好像的逻辑上是很讲得通，但是但是在现实生活中现实世界当中其实是不一定是一样的。为什么呢？就像师父在宝镜三昧歌当中提到的两句偈子，他说如临宝镜形影相见，如是非渠渠正是汝。这边可以看到这边的镜子不是一般的镜子，所谓的宝镜是指它不像一般镜子那样只能反映出三维的空间，三维立体空间，它应该是无限的空间，能够反映出无限的空间。而也可以指出我们一般人所感官感受到的以及意识上所产生的东西，我们认为好像是每一件都是很真实存在并且是分离的东西，其实并不分离，它是相互连接在一起的。
In the Genjo Koan, actualizing the fundamental point, this is by the Japanese Soto master Dogen Zenji. He states that the enlightened state is like the moon reflected in the water. And he points out that the moon does not get wet, right? And the water is not broken by the presence of the moon. There is a mutual interdependence which is beheld, but it's not attached to, not judged or labeled. It does not have an effect according to our usual way of understanding.
就像日本道元禅师在他的一本公案当中提到的，开悟的境界就像是水中月亮的倒影，就像是一个月亮在它的倒影在水中呈现一样。月亮本身并没有 被水打湿，而水又没有被因为存在月亮的倒影而被破坏被打乱。所以说月亮和水是一种像共同的相互的存在的这样一种关系，他们并没有彼此的执着或者彼此的影响，也没有贴上标签。
So you don't need Chan or Buddhism to have contradictions that really are very hard to understand. In higher mathematics, in algebraic topology, there's a concept that if you have a line that's 2 inches long, there's an infinite number of points within that line. But if there's a line that's 4 inches long, there's also an infinite number of points. So one infinity is greater than another infinity, yet that's impossible because infinity is the highest number that you can count to. So it doesn't make any sense. Yet it's true, mathematically speaking.
这又让我想起了另一个好像很悖论的一样东西，在高等数学里面有这样一个很悖论的理论，就是说比如说有两条线，有一条线呢比另一条线要长这么两英寸，然后根据某种理论可以说这一条线啊，它其实是有无数个点组成的一条线。那么另外一个更长一点的，比如说四英寸的那个线，那条线呢也是有无数个点组成的。所以如果我们说四英寸的那一条线比两英寸那条线长的话，我们就相当于说四英寸的那些无数个点要比两英寸的无数个点要多。但实际上这个也是很矛盾的，因为既然是无穷的点，那么无穷和无穷之间是没有办法进行比较的。
So, and this is all part of just this. And whereas, as you can see, as we've been discussing this, it's quite complicated, but from another point of view, there's nothing simpler. We all behold, we're all in the midst of just this all of the time, we're just not aware of it. But it is a great leveler.Where it's something that definitely unites us all in that sense of being in just this.
然后我们讲到这里，回到就是这个这句话上，你会觉得好像这句话是非常复杂的。我们讲了这么多，但是从另一个角度来讲，它其实也是再简单不过的一句话。我们其实每个人都有这个能力，这个性在那边，就是这个，但是。我们这种，对，我们这种就是这种能力，能够觉察这种能力，其实和其他人是没有什么两样的。
So, Sherfu writes in The Infinite Mirror, self-nature does not change. The environment changes. The mirror, our true unobstructed minds, does not darken in samsara, the cycle of birth and death and delusion, and it does not brighten in enlightenment.In enlightenment, self-nature does not manifest and become visible, and in samsara, self-nature is not defiled. You do not practice in order to make self-nature manifest. You practice to eliminate vexations. When vexations disappear, self-nature manifests naturally. It's not that self-nature appears, rather vexation disappears. This is an important point to remember. Enlightenment is not the emergence of something new, it is the removal of vexation. Anything else would just be adding to your already deluded mind.
就像师父在宝镜无镜这本书当中提到的，我们的本性其实一直是在那里的，没有变化，我们的佛性一直是在那里，没有变化的，变化的是环境，在周围的环境在变化。就像宝镜，如果我们在这里，我们把没有障碍的心比作一面镜子的话，就像这个宝镜，它并不会因为我们起了很多妄念，有很多在生死轮回中起了很多的幻觉啊、妄念啊而遭到破坏，或者它不再那么亮了，或者被我们这些妄念所让这些妄念遮盖了，就变得很暗了。它并不会这样，它始终是在那里的。所以说，对一个开悟的人而讲，他并不是取得了开悟境界，他并不是获得了什么东西，而只是说开悟的人和修行这条过程只是在不停地把镜子上的一些灰尘而 我们烦恼的灰尘和障碍，或者一些幻觉，不停的在抹去，再把这个让佛性这面镜子能够自然而然的呈现出来而已，只是这样一个过程。所以这是非常一个重要的一点，我们都需要记住的，那就是说开悟，我们并不是取得什么新的东西，或者呈现什么新的东西，它更多的是一种将我们的烦恼心放下，不停地放下自己的烦恼心，而能够让你的真心这面宝镜呈现出来的一个过程。你并没有对你已经拥有的真心其实做任何的加减。
Botanists tell us that when leaves turn red in the autumn, they are really not changing color. The orange and yellow pigments are already there, but they have been overpowered by the chlorophyll, I guess the chlorophyll of vexation, in the leaves. When autumn comes, the chlorophyll begins to dissipate and the colors that have always been there can now be seen.
就像打比方，在秋天的时候，树叶会变颜色啊，会变红色、黄色，我们都觉得非常漂亮。我们好像觉得它是自己变了，但实际上，生物学可能会跟我们讲，它并不是说它自己颜色的叶子颜色变了，而只是说这个红色素和黄色素其实一直是在叶子里边的，叶子本来就是具有这个能力，只是平时不在秋天的时候，它被比如说绿叶素这个比较主导的色素的颜色给遮盖掉了，所以当秋天到时候，只不过它这另外两种颜色的色素呈现出来而已。在这里，这个主导地位的绿叶素就相当于我们平时的烦恼心一样。
So now we can cover the last two lines of the poem. Guoxing Fosher interpreted the Hui as experience. You'll see that experience must be thus, and then accord with true suchness. Most translators simply took it as understanding. With experience, it is of the moment. You witness and embody what you witness on a moment-to-moment basis.It is intellectual, of course, in that it can be related to on some level, but it is not limited to the intellectual or the conceptual.
最后我们来讲最后两行句子，他讲，因虚宁么会方得气真如。在这里会，国行法师是解释成体验，也有一些翻译成理解。但这更多的应该是说，念与念，念念之间每个当下的体验，你所看到的，所体验到的，它听上去好像有一些很理论上的东西，但是一般我们也可以有一些的体验，而不仅仅只是一种知识层面的或者智力上的一个概念而已。
So, according to Sherfu's understanding of the poem, my reading of the last line is to take the qi, the accord, to mean, it's a word in Chinese that means contract, and it can mean, there's another word, qi he, which is to tally with something, and also another word, shang ying, which means responsiveness, mutual responsiveness. So I don't believe that you can merge with suchness, because we're already suchness.Right. So, but what one can do is to be in accord with it. And there's one translation. I don't have it on the sheet, but I thought it was very good. This is from Chang Zhongyuan. He said, only if you understand this will you identify with what you are. So that's another way of presenting it.
最后方得气真如这个气，气的意思呢，我觉得根据师父的理解，也是对我自己这句话的理解，我认为就是跟中文里的契合，它契应该是指契合的意思，就是相应契合。当然我不相信你可以跟所谓的真如佛性能够融合一起，因为你本身就是真如佛性的一个显现而已，所以不存在融合不融合的问题。但是我们的确可以不停的修行，在修行过程当中能减少自己的烦恼心，而最终来认识到跟自己的佛性的本性而相应，来显现出来。
So in his death verse, Dongshan said that he had numerous disciples, but not one has gained enlightenment. They err in seeking it as a path taught by others. That's a direct reference to the lines in this poem. And I take this as a cautionary note, and it certainly follows what he said is not in not seeking outside of oneself. It's easy to mistake any point on the path as the goal, as completion. This is to succumb to an idea of what things are, as opposed to a true awareness of them as they really are, with no intermediary thinking. With just this, path and goal are realized in every moment.
在东山良介禅师快要圆寂的时候呢，他有很多很多，他说他有很多很多弟子啊，但是呢，没有人已经这个真正的深刻的开悟，并且他们犯了一个错误，犯什么错误呢？就是在寻求这开悟的过程当中，不停别人教了他们很多方法，他们就在寻找在这些方法当中犯了很多错误。我认为他这句话的意思就是说，我们就像回到这句子第一句说，切记从他觅，就是不要从就提醒我们自己不要想老是想从别人那边获得一些方法，获得一些能够寻求最后开悟境界的真正的东西，因为这样很容易错误的把这种方法而当成自己最终想追求的目标。
So now as time diminishes, I actually have to practice just this because I have probably a half an hour more material. So I think just sort of one more little anecdote to close, which has to do with someone questioning Dongshan about this teaching. They said, a monk approached Dongshan and said, well, how did Yunnan really know this? Did he really understand it? And Dongshan said, well, if he didn't experience it, if he didn't know it, how could he possibly say it? You know, no one had said it before. And then Dongshan also said, how would he be willing to say it? And that to me is a real indication of the difficulty and the task of the great matter of actually trying to present this to other people, to have the faith that people can see this teaching. And that is really what Dongshan was about, was trying to see the world as it is and get other people to recognize this aspect of reality and this innate ability, innate understanding, innate suchness that people have. That was Dongshan's task.
时间快到了，我本来还准备了更多的一些材料，可能现在只能打住了。但我最后想提的是这样一个故事，就是有人问到洞山禅师说，当时云岩禅师在说这句话的时候，说就是这个的时候，云岩禅师到底知不知道这是什么意思？然后洞山禅师的回答很有意思，他说他怎么可能不知道呢？如果他不知道的话，他怎么会这么说？而且以前又没有人这么说过。所以他应该是知道的，但是如果他是知道的，他又怎么会愿意这么说呢？因为参禅这一件生死大事其实是没有办法从别人当中获得，你必须要自己去参。所以就像洞山禅师从云岩禅师那中获得了这样一个禅机，你必须自己在那边孜孜不倦的努力，然后最后能够开悟。我们也是一样的。
So unless people don't want to eat,I will conclude now, and I want to thank everyone for coming and listening, and we'll continue to take up this matter another time.
除非大家禅悦为食都已经不想吃饭了，要不然的话我现在就要打住了，那么我们会继续的参这个生死大事。好，感谢大家今天能够在这么冷天气到来。